everybody. It's the Bucketcast, hosted by yours truly, BucketReviews.com, film critic and podcaster, yes, podcaster, Danny Baldwin, and today's Friday. It's the standard Friday from Subman, but not a standard pair of guests. In addition to the usual Reed, Reed, you can say hello.
Hello.
We have Michael, retrospectives guy, Lester, for a second day in a row.
Hey, everybody.
This is the lamest introduction ever. And for a special treat, you have a bucket cast virgin. It's Eric the Man Bruck. I don't have a good middle moniker for you. But,
hello, everyone.
Thanks for the delayed introduction, Eric. But we got a lot to talk about, and I won't bury the lead. Today, Bruno comes out, starring, of course, Sacha Baron Cohen. We all went together in a giant powwow of sorts to the midnight last night. There's a divided opinion, but one opinion is clearly overwhelming the other. Three of us really liked it. One of us thought it was subpar. I wonder who thought it was subpar.
I loved it. Danny.
He kicks in immaculately. So, Eric, why don't you vocalize your opinion on why Bruno is not all that?
I wasn't expecting it to be as much. I was expecting more comedy, not as much.
But isn't the shock factor a part of why Bruno excels?
I wasn't expecting shock factor, period. There was shock factor going, holy shit, he's actually doing this.
Yes.
And the Borat was the shock factor. He's doing this and the people aren't knowing it.
But why is this inferior to that?
Well, I wasn't expecting it. And you have to go into a movie. If you're not expecting something and it turns out majorly different, it can sway either way.
So you think that maybe you'll like this better on repeat viewings where you know it's coming?
Maybe.
I think it's not as revolutionary as Borat, as David Poland said so eloquently, but it's really funny, right, guys?
Very funny.
Well, I mean, to go on what Eric said, I think you have to kind of expect some sort of shock factor from Sacha Baron Cohen. But, I mean, it's just, like, natural at this point to expect it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I had a lot of laughs.
There was
more than 60 laughs, in my opinion.
Yes, as Todd McCarthy said, I believe he counted 62 laughs in his review. 68, maybe, or something like that. But Michael doesn't like Todd McCarthy of Variety too much right now, despite a not huge introduction. He didn't find my recitation of his review too promising. But I thought that Bruno had a lot more than 68 laughs, if you count mild chuckles as well. And I thought it was good. I mean, I definitely did not expect the TV pilot he makes and all the contents therein. I think that will really shock some people.
Well, that and, like, the stuff in the trailer didn't even seem that tired. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, stuff that I thought I saw in the trailer that I thought was funny was still funny seeing
Absolutely.
On the big screen.
Yeah, it really...
I also
really
thought that they didn't, they didn't put, like, all the funny stuff in the trailer. Most of it was concealed until the movie.
No, and I think
obvious reasons.
They really learned a lesson from Borat, because with Borat, they posted the whole first 10 minutes online.
Oh, yeah.
We saw so much of the movie. It was so overexposed. Now, they really learned their lesson, concealed a lot, didn't give away too much, and it really worked, in my opinion.
I loved it.
I mean, I did not expect a lot of this stuff. I'm amazed he got an R rating.
There were a few scenes in there where I'm like, okay, he's going to get shot.
Do you guys... I think it should have been NC-17 still. I mean...
Based on a few
It was
parts,
really close.
Yeah. Do not take your children to the... And I don't say that a lot. Like, I'm not... I wouldn't say I'm the cultural prude in terms of taking your children to movies, but do not take them to Bruno. It is an experience that's really only suited for certain eyes. And not a great date movie
well,
either.
Once
I wouldn't
again,
say that would really bring about the... best of feelings on a first date or anything like that.
Well, once again, I saw small children there again, which has happened in almost every movie I could think of. Like
I don't,
300. And,
yeah, I don't know how the children will survive. I guess there's so much media effects research going into like whether these movies affect kids or not, and we will soon know because it will become a real unaffected reality, and I really don't know what's going to happen in that regard. But I gotta say, I think that a lot of people in middle America will walk out of Bruno and be almost offended.
almost.
They will be completely offended.
You don't walk out of a theater almost offended. Usually, it's pretty much like I'm offended. I'm leaving.
It's so silly that so not a description of the norm that could you really be that offended by it? I mean, unless you were one of the bigoted people that Sacha Baron Cohen makes fun of, how offended could you get by this?
Well, also I've been seeing people like in the gay community putting in their own backlash to it. So
really, they don't like it?
Well, they think, you know, it's stereotypical. That it's like the blackface kind of thing, minstrel show.
I think this is the best movie for the gay community in years because it defeats those stigmas head on.
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, Bruno is such a cartoon of the gay community that it almost rationalizes the rest of us, you know? And I think that really... And it points out the absurdities in the gay political movement because all this boisterous flamboyance seems ridiculous when you see Bruno doing it. And yet we've seen at least in the fashion community, we've seen very close to this in real life. And somehow it kind of destigmatizes that stereotype in the process. So we got three people saying go to Bruno, one kind of hesitant. How many laughs did you have? I wasn't looking over at you, Eric.
I did have quite a few laughs, but it was, I'd say about 50.
I sensed you were a bit uncomfortable, though.
50?
Although I think the movie is supposed to make you uncomfortable. I think it's definitely a movie to see so long as you're not easily offended.
Well, or if you didn't like Borat. If you don't like Borat, you can skip this too.
Same.
Although, some people who didn't like Borat like this because it does have more of a prefab structure. I mean, it doesn't seem quite as real as Borat did. But then you think about it, and a lot of this stuff clearly was real. I think it's just a stylistic thing.
Yeah.
To make the differentiation in staging, I think they had about the same amount of staging in this one as Borat, and the same amount of real stuff. It's just Borat had that very gritty feel to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that he got his jabs in. He's made a pretty good movie. It's funny. It made $1.8 million out of 700 theaters on Midnights, which is great. It may make $50 million over the weekend, and certainly one to see. Now, I want to talk about the movie that nobody's seeing this weekend, which is strange because it seems to have such a teen appeal. Reed and I talked about it a little while ago. It's called I Love You, Beth Cooper.
Have you read any of the reviews on it?
Terrible.
Terrible.
But didn't you expect them to be?
I could have gone really either way. I didn't think they'd be good. I think they'd either be middle of the road or...
Directed by Chris Columbus of Harry Potter fame, of course, and then starring Hayden Panettiere. And I thought
of Heroes fame.
Yeah, this would be a really big movie for the teen crowd, I thought. But they appear to be drifting towards Bruno. However they're getting in, I don't know. Now, they were carding people. They even carded us. We're 20 years old, and they carded us. But some of the people in there without parents looked like they were 14.
There's a lot of young-looking people, yeah.
And this could be really damaging if Bruno gets viewed by too many 14-year-olds, because I don't think... If you can't process all this satire, I think it could be slightly damaging. But is there any excitement here for I Love You, Beth Cooper? Eric, are you going to go see it? No?
Not really, no.
No? Not even with the... Like, I mean, it's PG-13. I guess that kills it, right?
I haven't really seen much of it, so I don't really know much about it, but
Had it been rated R, and it had been Hayden Panettiere in a very girl-next-door type of raunch-com, I might have gone for it. But it just seems lame right now, doesn't it?
It seems like they promoted it way too early. Like, there were trailers back in, like, April, May, and then, like, you watch TV spots, and they're all for Bruno. And I haven't seen one TV spot.
It's only in, like, 1,700 theaters. It's really...
I really don't think a lot of people know it's coming out.
I think they could have marketed it well. Are you going to see it, Reed?
If I see everything else in theaters, and, like, I have another... It'll be a $5.50 coupon, absolutely. I'm going to have to Blaine style
this one.
We need
to stage an Ultrastar boycott. I really am upset with them now. Not that I haven't been in the past, but I really, really am upset with Ultrastar now. Please, just spend the extra $2. You will do yourself a huge favor.
It's I Love You, Beth Cooper. I don't know.
I'm going to see it, but, you know, I see everything.
I hadn't even heard of it until you mentioned it. Yeah.
You hadn't seen the trailer?
You hadn't heard of it today?
No.
Oh, it's like a teenage sex comedy starring Hayden Panettiere, and she.
Well,
like,
that has some appeal, but if it was rated R, I'd be a little more inclined.
She takes, of course, the geek under her wing and gives him a great night. So
I heard it's really bad.
Ebert just showed the back of her head, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, Ebert said it was one of the few movies he wishes it everything turned out to be a dream for some reason because it just gets to be so improbable.
It sounds like something I wouldn't really care to go.
Well,
to.
If you don't even know it, and you're a pretty movie savvy guy.
Yeah, well, I think Reed must be right that it showed its previews too soon.
Unbelievable.
All I've seen is Bruno promos.
Could it make just $5 million? Wouldn't that be wild?
I projected it would make more, but that was during that was back when they were still doing promotions.
Something in me still says $10 million because, like, I actually was kind of looking forward to it until I heard it was rated PG-13.
Yeah.
So
maybe.
I kind of wanted to succeed, although I'm sure I wanted Imagine That to succeed and then...
Until you saw it?
To secede from the movie union. No.
But if you look at what's coming out this week and you got Bruno, which not everyone's going to be into that, and you got, like, The Hurt Locker. So those two, like, very specific audience movies that a lot of people might go to.
Let's,
I Love You, Beth Cooper.
Let's talk about The Hurt Locker, which Michael saw this morning.
I got to get back to work.
Eric's got to get back to work. See you later, Eric.
Later, Eric.
See you around.
Hoping that you like Bruno and come around to Bruno.
I may see it again.
We're hoping that you return to the podcast in full form on some Friday. But anyway,
and you have a better moniker there. For him.
Yes, I will have a better moniker for you in the future. if you see him, he's in his work uniform. He's just been baking cakes, and he had icing all over himself. But anyway, The Hurt Locker came out today. Michael saw it this morning. Reed is guilty of not seeing it yet. I saw it back at South by Southwest, and it was my favorite movie at South by Southwest, and it's really, I think it was fourth favorite movie of the year, I said. I really love this movie.
Well, I have to agree with you. The first act is by far the best, I think.
Unbelievable. Some of the best action and tension building, and you really do get a sense, almost, of what it's like to be these soldiers disarming bombs. And the
second act's pretty good. The third act flounders, but I still think it kind of gets what it was going for. But overall, I think it was a really good film. I think, like I pointed out to you, the biggest standout of this movie is it doesn't have a political agenda for either side. It's just talking about...
Yeah, it's really a straight-up action movie, and that works.
Well, I mean, even... It's talking about, you know, like, war is a drug. Adrenaline is a drug for Jeremy Renner's character, but it's not like, oh, war is bad or war is good.
Yeah, and the strange thing is Jeremy Renner gives the best performance of the movie. He's so... incredible, but I really do think the third act marginalizes his character. It goes to such an... And I don't think, had it not been so immediate, and had it not been Iraq, say it was Vietnam or something,
yeah,
I don't think I would be quite as angry with the third act. Like, for some reason, I would have let it pass on its own narrative terms, but because it's so recent and so relevant, it just seemed so improbable to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it worked at all in that regard. And, you know, I still am willing to forgive the movie for that because it's so good the rest of the time. But really, really good movie. It just kind of flounders at the end, as you said.
But you got a good story. You got very good acting. Good effects. The effects were done in a very nice way.
Yeah, so seamless, too. I mean, this doesn't seem like a big frills movie. And some of the shots last a while. It's not like an MTV-style movie, really.
Yeah.
Builds the tension really organically, works well, very light score, even. And it doesn't use all this just craziness to make us tense.
And like, once again, it focuses more on the narrative. It focuses more on the characters instead of saying, you know, whatever the director or the writer's beliefs are about the war.
And that's really a testament to how unbiased this is, because it's written by Mark Boal, who did In the Valley of Ella, which is one of the most didactic, political, overall bad movies about the Iraq War ever. And somehow this one kept it in this one, and I really admire it. So go see it. It expanded to 50 cities this week, and I think we can all agree, Michael, that everybody's got to go see it and support this movie and make it really the first successful Iraq War movie as the first really good Iraq War movie.
I mean, you know, I agree with everything you just said, but like, even though it's like, you know, this is Iraq, I really didn't see it as an Iraq film for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't, like, it didn't stand out to me, like, because this is Iraq.
Because it's an action movie more than a war movie, I think. And it really works with these characters and what they feel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
It's hard to put
almost
a
in some
on
senses,
it.
I want to say it's a thriller because of how it works the shots, basically just how everything's set up, especially how Jeremy Renner's character behaves.
Absolutely. So go see The Hurt Locker. Those are the only movies coming out this week, so maybe you'll catch up on something else. There is some good stuff out there.
I need to see Public Enemies still.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Public Enemies is pretty good. It's definitely a good movie.
I'm off this weekend, it's
muted emotionally. It's not interesting in that regard, but from a stylistic perspective, I mean, Michael Mann finally gives you some ammunition to say that digital is going somewhere. He really works it in well with the historical time frame against all odds. Things are a little too textured, but I really liked the way the movie was shot.
My only grievance with it is the camera work gets a little bit excessive at points.
I really don't think so.
I know it didn't bother you, but there was times where it's just like, it was too much like Cloverfield, like shaky cam. It's like, and it wasn't even action scenes. It was just dialogue scenes.
I think for some reason it makes it feel more real. It gets us into the 1930s more almost, which is strange given they obviously didn't have digital cameras then. Next up, we got the Comic-Con Thursday and Friday lineups announced. Now, Friday's big, big breaking news.
If you are going to the 2009 Comic-Con, you may see Danny, Michael, and I wandering the halls.
Maybe, or just Hall H in my case. they're offended by the fact that I would just go to panels and not walk the floor. Maybe I'll create a thing and just not walk the floor, period. How about that? All right, well, Thursday's lineup came out. What are you guys excited for on Thursday?
Should I read my schedule?
Yeah, read your schedule.
Well, go for it, Michael.
First big thing is the Battlestar Retro Spective.
Can I grab a drink?
But we also got Pandorum panel, and we got Trick or Treat that night.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I wanted to see Trick or Treat last year, but it was...
But it's coming on to DVD and Blu-ray, so if there's something else better screening, why do you... That's part of the problem.
When does it come into Blu-ray?
It didn't say, but it said that it's going direct to DVD in the description on the Comic-Con website. But that's kind of my thing is, you know, why do you want to sit in those fold-up chairs in Ballroom 20 and stuff?
But there's a Green Lantern thing right before it, too.
I'm going to the Green Lantern.
So I'm probably going to be there anyway, so it's like, why not stay for Trick-or-Treat?
So you guys are staying for Trick-or-Treat, definitely?
Might be, depends on
I am, Green Lantern and First Flight and Trick-or-Treat.
I'll probably be at a different screening. Last year, that frame was what? Sex Drive and Tropic Thunder screened at that time. So, you know, I really like going to the Hollywood movies. The vibe around the two theaters, the Horton Plaza and the Reading Gas Lamp, is just so intense. During Comic-Con.
Well, I don't know if you'd be down.
X-Files and Midnight Meat Train last year.
Yeah, we went to... and nobody was at X-Files, which is really emblematic of how
It made my top five worst... Geekgasm made my top five worst of the year list.
Yeah, well...
It was like a two-hour-long X-Files episode. All
right, so Reed, give us your schedule for Thursday.
Ooh. A not good X-Files episode either. So, 11 a.m., I will be with Danny. We will be in college for the Alice in Wonderland... And
the Disney 3D panel.
Disney 3D panel, which is Tim Burton doing Alice in Wonderland and Robert Zemeckis with The Christmas Carol.
Starring
Jim Carrey.
It should be wild. Now, Reed, how are they going to work this 3D out with the real D projectors?
I'm interested to
with
see.
With all the monitors in Hall H, it's going to be so weird and so distracting, and then the glasses distribute. I'm thinking of bringing some glasses with me.
Don't be that guy.
Just because I'm scared that...
Danny will always be that guy.
Well, I don't bring glasses. See... Here's the thing. Now, this brings up another issue. They charge you at the 3D movies between $2 and $4 for the glasses, theoretically. They don't say projector fee or anything.
Yeah.
Why can't we just bring our own glasses? That's the surest way to recycle glasses, is to have people bring them back.
That's true.
And just not charge us the fee. I mean, that fee is literally what makes me not want to go to 3D movies and make it... Like, the 3D doesn't bother me that much. It's just that freaking fee of $4 when there's no real... Are we all going to go see G-Force Midnight? 3D? Yeah.
Hey, that's all you, buddy. That's all you.
You're on that one.
You couldn't even play along with the joke because it was so offensive to you. Okay, anything else?
I just saw the trailer the other day.
So, yeah, I'm going to the Alice in Wonderland Disney, you are too. Then right after that, James Cameron's Avatar. Everyone saw the posters
online,
I hope.
Why are you not enthusiastic about Avatar?
I never followed the original...
Yeah, but what does it matter? It's James Cameron. You should be in.
It sounds really corny.
Really? Well, when I went to that James Cameron Q&A, he just talks about, like... he literally has, like, holographic images that the actors are interacting with, and it's
It just doesn't sound like James Cameron badass.
Like, they do all the CGI, like, beforehand, and then they can see what it looks like, and, I mean, the technology is just incredible.
How long has he been working on this thing now?
Oh, my God, and how much money is it up to? I mean, he was literally talking about how he wanted to do more, and then, like, how could you possibly balloon a budget for a movie this high? And it will be released in 2D, which is interesting. I'll be interested to see both versions, and the IMAX version, too. Cameron's really optimistic about the digital projectors. I don't know why. But
now that Transformers 2 has come out, that's probably my most anticipated movie of the year.
Don't let the folks know that Transformers 2 was an anticipated podcast. Or podcast.
Yeah.
See, that's a Freudian slip. I was anticipating it solely as a podcast. Finally got around to seeing Transformers 2. It sucked as expected. Michael even disliked it more than I did. But you got anything else for? Or you cutting the day off at Avatar? Just leave it.
Then I'm just going to leave. Just go to Dick's Last Resort and get some food.
I don't understand.
I'm not really excited about the summits. Summit panel, but I'm going to go anyway.
Oh come on! We got to see all the teenage girls.
Look what I wrote in my calendar. New Moon.
Twilight. Yeah. This will be interesting because the Taylor Lautner character makes up a huge portion of the movie, and I don't find it... I mean, he was a terrible actor in the original, even though I really like the original. So it'll be interesting to see them woo over him at the Summit panel. What else is in the Summit panel? Do you know?
I don't know. All I saw was nothing. Astro Boy.
Guess what? I'm going to summon it. Yeah, we got Astro Boy. Oh, and Sorority Row. That one should be...
I saw the trailer for that today.
Yeah, with Rumor Willis written by Josh Stolberg, who is a Hollywood Stock Exchange friend and a nice guy, even though his previous two movies, Kids in America and Good Luck Chuck, left something to be desired.
You know what? When I was watching that trailer today, it looked exactly like I Know What You Did Last Summer, except with... Sorority Girls.
Will be rated R, though.
And I didn't even see I Know What You Did Last Summer, so yeah, that's pretty bad.
Still very happy that it's going to be rated R and not another PG-13 cop-out on this very teen mold. Because teen horror can be an R-rated movie, believe it or not. Teens do behave badly. Next up?
Next up is at 4:45, it looks like, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
That's right, because we're skipping...
Heath Ledger's last film.
Yeah, we're skipping the Joe Dante panel to eat, because, you know, there is a...
And to walk the floor, right, Danny?
Maybe for 5 minutes. It gets so claustrophobic in there, I swear.
It does, but...
Bring a paper bag and breathe into it.
If I go to preview night, maybe I'll go to the... thing. But you're not going to be going to Sony Pictures Animation, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
No, I'm...
I cannot believe this.
My schedule's just so cluttered, I'm going to have to skip out on that.
Why aren't they doing 3D for that one?
I don't know.
All right.
Then after that, at 5:45, is Kick-Ass panel, which Kick-Ass is one of my favorite
comic
books.
Not going to Jeff Johns at 2:15?
Is Jeff Johns there at 2:15?
Yeah, Jeff Johns, Spotlight, 2:15. You're going to have to rectify Avatar versus Jeff Johns.
I'm going to have to go Avatar, because I'm going to probably see Jeff Johns there anyway. He's always, like, at the DC booths and stuff.
All right, what's next?
Kick-Ass, like I said, one of my favorite comic books, directed by Matthew Vaughn. Book was written by Mark Millar, who also wrote Wanted.
Yeah.
Everything I've seen so far looks really good. We're going to see our first footage from the movie, too.
With Nicolas Cage and Christopher Mintz-Plasse, McLovin himself, in person.
Nicolas Cage playing Big Daddy, Christopher Mintz-Plasse playing Red Mist.
Yeah, that should be entertaining. And then that night, you do have the Trick or Treat playing.
And Green Lantern.
And Green Lantern playing, but I'll probably be over at the Reading Gaslamp 15 catching up with some movie somewhere. Now, let's get into the real meat. Friday at Comic-Con, what are you looking forward to on Friday? Panels just announced. Warner Brothers is in the morning, although we already knew that. It's going to be Where the Wild Things Are, The Book of Eli, A Nightmare on Elm Street, The Box, Jonah Hex.
I might be there for Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, this is all one panel.
Ooh, I don't know if I want to go to all this.
It should be
good. I really want to see Jonah Hex, and I want to see
I want to see Jackie Earle Haley there for Nightmare on Elm Street.
Jackie Earle Haley sounds like a good Freddy.
He just rapped. It's pretty good. And then Sherlock Holmes, I'm sure Downey will be there.
I would want to see Downey, but I'm really not anticipating Sherlock Holmes.
Nor am I.
It's typical Guy Ritchie, and it's not Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is not, like...
I just want to see Downey. But then again, they will probably do an Iron Man 2 preview,
most definitely.
As Reed was saying. You think it's going to be a Saturday night thing?
Oh, it's going to be a Saturday, yeah. They always save the biggest ones for Saturday.
Saturday night.
And then I'll throw the old switcheroo.
Well,
and do
come
it Sunday,
on now.
Sunday afternoon.
Last Saturday, they did Land of the Lost in the popular.
But they
slot.
Also had, I think it was Saturday, they had Hugh Jackman show up for a surprise Wolverine panel. No
yeah,
one knew
and
what was going on.
That was wild because I missed it because I had left
yeah,
for a screening. And that was. I left, like, literally one
panel. I hate it when they do that.
Before
when, like,
that.
Just yeah, come in out of nowhere.
Although, you know, I don't get the Hugh Jackman thing, I guess, because I have a penis. But as Bruno does, clearly, as we saw last night in glorious detail, I guess.
Many scenes.
It also talks. Did you know that? All right. Anything else we're excited for on Friday? Have you read the full lineup, Michael?
No, it just came out.
This is just breaking. So,
but I'm going to read the whole thing because there's. Yeah, I'll look at panels, and sometimes even if I don't even know anything about it, I'll go.
We literally have Jim Caviezel coming for a Passion of the Christ panel. No, I'm just.
Oh, never, that 70s
that would have been a joke 5 years ago. I'd be like, "Hey, Jim Caviezel's going to Comic Con, guys!"
And then you could have had Kevin Smith right after.
Oh yeah,
I keep seeing the G.I. Joe panel,
yeah.
But I don't know.
Noticeably
if I want to
absent. Where is Kevin? Is that going to be a Saturday? Kevin Smith is going to have a Saturday.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think it might be a Saturday. Either that, or he's in New York right now. You know, shooting a couple of dicks.
Now, maybe he needed that extra day just to prepare the footage because he wants that in the schedule.
Oh, he's definitely bringing footage. He did for Zach and Miri last year.
I'd be interested in the Big Bang Theory. I don't know what day it's going to be, but there's supposed to be a Left 4 Dead 2 panel.
Oh, yes. See, our audience is illiterate on games, but just to give a shout-out.
District 9, anyone know that?
Yeah, District 9.
Yeah, District 9, and what's that paired with?
Just District 9.
No, District 9 is on with something else.
District 9, Hall H, Peter Jackson.
Dude, District 9 and Legion.
Oh, my bad.
So that's the Sony panel. This is really descending into disorganization, but
yeah.
I hope you're really enjoying this from Subban and that the refrigerator is not overwhelming our voices. We're using a different recording program. Oh, 9. That's another one on Friday I'll be interested in. How did they do an hour on 9, though? That's going to be wild. And
Dollhouse.
Long.
Yeah, you're really into
4 to
Dollhouse.
5:15. See, I don't know. Dollhouse was really... really good once it got halfway through, and then the last half just went kind of downhill.
It seems to me like they got to add something on Friday.
So yeah, let's do it.
Maybe Iron Man 2 is coming up, or Kevin Smith. But they wouldn't do a secret Kevin Smith.
Absolutely not. No, people need a plan for Kevin Smith.
But Iron Man 2, it could... because
they wouldn't. I don't think they'd surprise. They wouldn't fool around with Iron Man 2.
But Friday... well, with Wolverine, that's the same slot.
But, see, Wolverine wasn't as big as Iron Man 2. Wolverine, I don't think had the... I mean, Wolverine was big, but it's no Iron Man 2, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got a plan for, like, Mickey Rourke, Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, maybe a Ryan Reynolds appearance.
Doesn't Friday seem like it's lacking something, though?
I think that's going to be more my day to walk the floor.
Like, there are some good Hall H panels, but let's just...
there's some stuff for Dead Space. I might look into that.
Oh, but for Left 4 Dead, Michael, you need to join Scott Weinberg of Cinematical and James Rocky of MSN Movies, because they apparently have Xbox Live Left 4 Dead games at, like, 3 in the morning with each other.
Do you have their screen names?
I could get them. That's quite a shout-out to those tweeples. Entertainment Weekly, the Visionaries panel is just James Cameron and Peter Jackson. Do you really need more than James Cameron and Peter Jackson?
That's pretty
together?
Big. Those are pretty big guys.
Although you already have seen Cameron there for the Avatar panel. You know, but I don't know. James Cameron, Peter Jackson, that's got to at least equal Kevin Smith,
well,
Judd Apatow, what's his face? The guy who does Sin City.
Robert Rodriguez?
No. What's
Frank Miller.
Frank Miller.
That was so random to throw in.
Yeah, and he was the funniest part of it.
Yeah, he just didn't say anything.
And Zack Snyder, and Kevin Smith was just like
Premium.
Drooling over Zack Snyder. Oh, and where's the Watchmen thing, too? They're doing the whole, like, Watchmen director's cut viewing party.
I thought I saw something in the list there. Maybe I didn't.
Well, I can check here. This is great radio. Hope you're... oh, production. That might be interesting. Production designers for Dollhouse, Dark Knight, Watchmen, and Terminator 2 together. Wait, Terminator 2 3D? Is Terminator 2...
That's a ride they have at Universal Studios,
yeah.
A show.
I thought it was like... Watchmen's not on there.
When's
so... Can't we await the Saturday? Maybe Saturday it was just unveiled? No, I doubt it.
No, but they're doing it day by day, I think.
Oh, they are. But this is really breaking news. And
we're really going to have more to talk about once we actually go to these panels and report from them.
And we're going to bring this camera with us and have a fun time at Comic-Con.
Is Michael Lester going to be the DP once again, reprising his role?
Maybe. It was a pretty good DP
role. I have my own crew, so...
All right. So... Until next time, we're going to wrap this up. And
I'm not going to be here next Friday either.
Yeah, maybe we'll pre-record. Maybe Michael and I will do something. I don't even know
Dr. Bruce.
This point. Yes. Michael is Dr. Bruce to Reed, and if you don't get that in-joke, then you don't deserve to live.
Is that his Twitter handle?
No. Yeah. look up Dr. Bruce on Google, and you got the iPhone right there. But anyway... For Michael Lester and Eric Bruck, now vacant, and Reed Ackerman, this has been the Bucket Cast, and I'm saying Bucket out.
We're on the front line. I get handed down the news. We're on the front line. Well, I never begin to choose. Just we're on the front line.